scripture reading. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Zechariah, the 11th chapter, second to the last book in the Old Testament, page 974 in your Scofield Reference Bible, and we'll read verses 1 through 6. Zechariah chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. And you'll note, please, the second verse as being the text verse. And let's all stand, please, everyone standing for the reading of God's Word. Open thy doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may devour thy cedars. Howl, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen, because the mighty are spoiled. Howl, O ye oaks of Bashan, for the forest of the vintage is come down. There is a voice of the howling of the shepherds, for their glory is spoiled. A voice of the roaring of young lions, for the pride of Jordan is spoiled. Thus saith the Lord my God, feed the flock of the slaughter, whose possessors slay them, and hold themselves not guilty. And they that sell them say, blessed be the Lord, for I am rich, and their own shepherds pity them not. For I will no more pity the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. But lo, I will deliver the men, every one, into his neighbor's hand, and into the hand of his king. They shall smite the land, and out of their hand I will not deliver them. And let's pray. Father, bless the message and help us to be awfully careful tonight about listening, about what we hear. Of course, we pray that the power of thy spirit and might be evidenced in our service tonight. Thank you for all the victories of the day. We need thee yet tonight. And so bless both preacher and hearer alike. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to speak tonight on the subject, when the mighty cedar falls, so does the little fir. We read a while ago this statement, how fir tree for the cedar is fallen. How fir tree for the cedar is fallen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this great assembly. We thank Thee that here in this unlikely place, in the old deteriorating section of Hammond, every Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, people come to the thousands for the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. And now don't turn us away tonight the same as we were when we came. Grant that we shall be conformed more in the image of Thy Son because we're here. Holy Spirit, do a work in the hearts of many. In Jesus' name, amen. Side by side on Mount Hermon, and side by side on the hills of Lebanon, mountains of Lebanon, grew two trees. Oh, to be sure, other trees were there also. But perhaps the predominant growth, as far as the trees were concerned, in Lebanon, was that of the cedar and that of the fir. Now, the cedar was the giant of the forest. It was the mighty tree of the forest. The cedar was used for beams, joists, foundation. It was the strength of many buildings. Whereas the fir was used for floor, ceiling, musical instruments, woodwork, spears, and so forth. Side by side in the forest grew the cedar and the fir. Are you listening? The cedar hovered over the fir tree, sort of a cone-shaped-like tree. And the fir tree grew beneath the branches of the cedar. when the smaller trees, such as the fir tree of the forest, toppled, they had little effect on the other trees of the woods. The small tree tumbles all alone and carries nothing with it to the earth. There is not a great deal of excitement in the forest when the small tree, such as the fir, falls to the earth. The hart does not stop his search for the water brook. The cedar flutters not a leaf when the fir tree falls. The willow weepeth not, and the pine sheds no cones when the fir tree falls. It's not an imposing tree. It carries nothing with it groundward. But let a cedar fall that has been standing for centuries. Let that mighty cedar be touched by decay or felled by a storm, and the small fir tree falls with it. For the fir tree nestles in the armpit of the cedar. And if the cedar falls to the earth, it takes that or those firs that were beneath it, and they also bow to the earth. The eagle is startled. The beast is frightened. All beneath the mighty cedar crumbles. The mountain is shaken, and the earth is quake-like because the mighty cedar has fallen to the earth. Tis the same in the forest of men. When Satan aims his fatal edge at a spiritual cedar that has withstood the blast of time and trouble and temptation, the smaller trees fall beneath its plunge. To somebody, you are a cedar. Somebody grows beneath your branches. Maybe you're the pastor of a church, and there are fir trees growing beneath your branches. Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher, and you have small fir trees looking to you for protection. If they fall, you do not fall. If you fall, they fall. Everybody in this room tonight is a cedar to somebody. And that's why it says, how fir trees, for the cedar is fallen. It doesn't say, how cedar trees, for the fir is fallen. For the falling of the fir affects not the cedar as far as its erect position. But the falling of the cedar takes down with it the fir. When Satan comes, levels his axe at a spiritual giant or a spiritual leader of others, he always takes with him a small fir or small firs. You never fall alone. Now, this passage where it says, how fir for the cedar, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen, means one of two things. It means either that what I just said, it's a figure of the man and his influence as a leader stumbles
in a Christian school, or a Christian school teacher, or a youth worker, or a mom, or a dad, or any spiritual leader. God likens that spiritual leader to the great beams up there. If one of your followers falls, it will not make you happy, but it will not cause you to fall. But if the beam falls, then the ceiling falls with it. If I used to lay oak floor when I was in college, for 18 months, I laid oak floor. Now, I've seen oak floor buckle. If it was damp underneath the house, it wasn't poured on a slab or no basement. Where I grew up, we didn't have basement. And I've seen the dampness cause the hardwood floor to buckle, but it didn't affect the joists at all. Not at all. the 2x10 to which, on which the subfloor was laid, over which the oak floor was laid, were not affected. When the floor buckled, it did not take with it the joist underneath. But if the big 2x10 joist were to crumble, the floor crumbled with it. Now the fir tree is the floor, and the great cedar tree is the joist. And God is saying this. God is saying, as you rise to places of spiritual influence, you carry with you more people under your branches. And as you crumble, others crumble with you. All of you have somebody under your shadow. Each of us has a fir tree or some fir trees who will fall if we fall. That little fir beneath you, they call you daddy. You may be the cedar that rises above that little fir tree that calls you daddy. To him, you are a mighty cedar. And if you, daddy, fall, then that little fir tree also falls. All over this building tonight are little children and teenagers whose dads have gone into sin, left the will of God, and fallen from God's perfect will into sin. All the damage done to the fir trees, the damage done to boys and girls who've had their faith shaken in their mighty cedar because daddy has fallen to the ground. You know, it's something to be a daddy. I recall when I was a boy, my daddy was the strongest man in the whole world. My dad weighed 235 pounds. He was 6'3" tall. He was a giant of a man. At one time, as a young man, he was a wrestler. He was some man. I thought my daddy was the smartest man I ever saw in my life. I thought he was the smartest man. I can still recall Christmas 1929 in the middle of the Depression when my mother stood on one side and my dad on the other side of the Christmas tree. And mother said, "Son, if you love your mother most, come to your mother." And my daddy said, "If you love your daddy most, come to your daddy." My mother was a godly woman. My mother taught me the word of God, loved me, taught me everything I know, bought me everything I ever owned except the things my sister bought me when she graduated from high school. My dad was an alcoholic. He bought me one piece of clothing in all my life, a little blue t-shirt. That's all he ever bought me in all of his life. But I went to daddy. Why? Because every boy loves his daddy. Why, when Dave was a boy, I can still hear him say to his buddy across the street, "My daddy used to play for the New York Yankees." Well, I didn't play for the New York Yankees. It was the Los Angeles Dodgers I played for. He thought I was the strongest man in the world. Now that he's grown, he knows I'm the strongest man in the world. Why, when I was a younger man and the kids were growing up, they thought I hung the moon. I told them I did not hang the moon by myself. I had some help in hanging the moon. But what I'm saying, that as you grow older and as the children come, then all of a sudden you rise as a mighty cedar and those little fir trees will fall when you fall. Did you know that your child, "Dad, you have the wisdom of Solomon, the strength of Samson, the size of Goliath, the greatness of Moses, the brilliance of Paul, and the faith of Abraham. Heavy, heavy hangs over your head if you fall. All the temptations that come to Dad to give up the ghost, drop out of church. I have been offended. Things aren't going as I think they ought to go. Some temptation has come my way. They don't appreciate me. The church has changed." And before you know it, you've fallen. And as you fall, those little fir trees crumble beneath the mighty cedar. Again and again, I've told this illustration through the years at this church. I was a teenage lad in Dallas, Texas. In our junior high school and high school, we had a family of girls. I guess we're as pretty a family of girls as I've ever seen, apart from the girls in the Hiles family, of course. And these were beautiful girls. Their father was a deacon in the Hillcrest Baptist Church where I grew up. One night at a men's meeting, this father was sitting right in front of me, and he stood to speak a few words of testimony. He told about his oldest daughter, and this is what he said. He said, "Men, God has given me 3 lovely daughters." And I mean they were just beautiful girls. They were my age, one younger and one older, and they were strikingly beautiful girls. They're blondes, and blondes have more fun. And so they were, every boy in the neighborhood wanted to go with them. I didn't. All 3 of them wanted to go with me, of course. But I had no desire. It was a common thing for young ladies to be chasing me, and so forth. And I'm sure that you understand. One glimpse of my dear face, all sorrow will erase. So gladly, they ran the race to go with Hiles. And so, this deacon stood up, and he said, "Men, God gave me 3 daughters. Those daughters were the apple of my eye." He said, "My oldest daughter was the joy of my life." And I can still see that daughter. He said, "I decided to make her popular." And he did. "I decided to give her everything she'd want." And he did. "I bought a beautiful home." And he did. "I helped them to have the very finest of clothes." And they did have. He said, "One day my daughter was out on a date in a convertible car. She came home sick." He did not think she was very, very bad sick. "She came home sick. And she said, 'Dad, I don't feel good.' We called the doctor. And the doctor came to our house. He walked out of the house, her room, and said to me, 'Sir, your daughter is dying.'" The deacon kept on talking as he testified to our men's meeting. He said, "Men, I could not tell you how I felt. I turned to walk back in the room to take the hand of my daughter who was dying, and she looked up at me and she said, 'Daddy, I know I'm dying. Daddy, I want to thank you for providing for me a nice home, a nice car, nice clothes, to help me be popular. Dad, you have provided everything material that I could want.' But she said, 'Dad, there's one thing you never provided, and that was spiritual guidance. You never told me about Jesus. You never told me about the things of God. Daddy, I'm dying now, and you never told me.'" He said, "Honey, let me tell you now." She said, "Daddy, it's too late. I'm dying now, and you never told me." And I said, "Honey, let me tell you. Let me tell you." And she said, "Daddy, I'm dying now." And he said, "Brethren, she was gone." He said, "I fell to my knees beside the lifeless form of my lovely teenage daughter, realizing that I had failed. Let me tell you something. It's something to be a dad. Rise, taller. Stand taller. Throw your shoulders back. Throw out your chest. Stick your chin in and hold your arms up. A dad. That's something to be a dad. Let me tell you something, Dad. Be careful. Oh, be careful, little dad. How you live. Oh, be careful, little dad. How you live. For there's a little fir tree. Several little fir trees who look up to you. And when the mighty cedar called Daddy for, the little fir will fall with it. That little fir sees you They call you mommy. Oh, it's something to be a mommy. I'll never forget the day I became a mommy for the first time. It's wonderful to be a mommy. You know, I said this Wednesday night, but you know, it's true. The mommies get all the attention. I mentioned Wednesday night. Mean Joe Green tackles the guy on the 50-yard line, breaks his collarbone, cracks his leg in two, runs off the field rejoicing because of the good deed that he just did. Big old long beard, big old broad shoulders, shoulder pads, looking if anybody gets in his way so he might mutilate them, as I've done many times in my professional football days. He gets on the sidelines, giant of a guy, 275, 80 pounds, 6'4", 5 inches tall, Mean Joe Green. The camera turns his way. Mean Joe Green looks at that camera. What does he say?
Come on. Come on.
It's something to be a mama. It is. That little fur beneath you, mother, you're the best person he knows. You possess the beauty of Sarah, the courage of Esther, the purity of Mary, the patience of Rebecca, unselfishness of Dorcas, the friendliness of Phoebe, the grace and charm of Mary, and the care of Priscilla. But mother, if you fall, those little fir trees that grow beneath your mighty shadow will crumble with you. Recently, a young mother decided that she was a little tired of her husband. So she goes shopping, trying to find another husband. She shops here, she shops there, and finally, she decides which one she wants after she's tried on a few for size. And that little mother has sat in this auditorium for years. She was a teenager in this church. And now, Holesbroken, two little fir trees have no daddy. Why? Because the cedar is fallen, and as the cedar called mommy crumble, those little cedars also crumble. That means when these children start to school, there's no daddy to come to the school and see the work that's done. This means when these little fir trees take their piano lessons, there's no daddy to hear the recital. Oh, brother, that's the most miserable hour in the world for any living human. I had rather go through the first pass of the tribulation period than to set through one of those those beautiful recitals again. Where the teacher came and said, and now Miss Becky Denheim is going to give us a series of numbers by Bach, Beethoven, and Mozart. And this is the evening. I said. And Bach wished he'd never taken up music. Beethoven turned over his grave, and Mozart considered pressing charges. When these little cedars graduate from high school, there'll be no daddy to congratulate them. When these little cedars get married, there'll be no daddy to give away. Why? Because some little heathen hearted mother decided she didn't care about those little cedars, and she fell. And let me tell you tonight, if that little lady is here, in God's name, we have an altar here. And it's for people like you. How, you little children, when mama falls? How, you little children, when daddy falls? How, ye fir trees, when the mighty cedar falls? little fir tree may call you teacher. I can still recall my first school teacher, Mrs. Sharp. I was 6 years old. That's been 18 years ago. To that little cedar tree that calls you teacher, your IQ is 175. Your combination of Sir Isaac Newton, Einstein, and Louis Pasteur. You discovered the theory of relativity. Homogenized milk. You are the smartest person. I can take you tonight to a place where a school teacher fell. And as that cedar crumbled, students beneath that teacher lost their faith. And half a dozen of them tonight are now teenagers. They don't go to church anywhere. They don't want anything to do with Christianity. Why? Because a school teacher, like a mighty cedar, the little fir growing beneath it, crumbled. As the cedar fell, likewise, so fell the fir. That little fir, they call you coach. You taught to him, you taught Joe Namath to pass, O.J. Simpson to run, Mean Joe Green to tackle, Babe Ruth to hit, Sandy Koufax to pitch, and Jerry West how to shoot a basketball. You're the coach. You're the mightiest man he knows. You're the best athlete he knows. You're his hero. You young men down here on the front who sang a while ago, who play on our ball team, you know the fellows you admire. You admire these men that taught you how to block and tackle Fred Mooney and fellows like that, and Coach Weber and fellows like that. They're your heroes. And if tonight Coach Weber or Fred Mooney were to stumble, you first trees beneath him would consider stumbling also. That little first tree may call you preacher. I guess everybody thinks this preacher's the best. I think it's a wonderful thing. These young folks that sang a while ago. I left the office last night about, almost 11 o'clock. And during the night, they came down, decorated my door, this singing group. Some came down 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning as they were coming home from the tavern. they decorated my door and wrote me a nice note and signed it, and they told me they loved me. And that pleased me very much. And they always write on a piece of paper, little children do, and the teenagers do, always, they write that amazing truth, you're the greatest preacher in the whole world. May bed bugs be in your bed when you get home tonight. But I guess everybody, every preacher is somebody's favorite preacher. And men of God, great giant cedars beneath you. They are little firs that look up to you. Last night we had our preacher boy here in the chapel. We should have heard the preaching last night. I called out some subjects and I said, one fellow, I want you to preach for 60 seconds on why it's wrong to have a PA. In a church. He stood up. First thing he did was this.
He said, give Moses, get the commandments of God through a PA system. He said, did Jesus have a PA system? When he preached a sermon on the mount, he said, what's going wrong in this country? It's the answer.
And he had those fellas hollering, yes. Our college preacher boy, he said, is that right? Right. It's great. One fellow had to preach 60 seconds on why it's a sin to have a front porch on a house. What was the other subject, fellas? Yeah, on the sin of the knocker. Yeah. Everybody knows it's wrong to use the knocker. Everybody knows that's what's ruining this nation. And man, I wish you'd heard that closing sermon. He borrowed a few sermons from John Jasper and a few others. Man alive. And you know, ever speaking one of those fellows, and those that don't think. There's other things I want to say right there. Every one of those fellows thinks that Brother Hines is the world's greatest preacher. You see? Because I signed their degrees when they graduated. Standing beneath the mighty cedar, called a pastor of a church, there are little fir trees. It saddens us when those fir trees fall, but it causes us not to fall. But when that mighty cedar crumbles to the ground, he takes with him the firs beneath his shadow. Somebody? Preacher? Compared to you, R.G. Lee stuttered. John Rice was illiterate. Lester Roloff is scared. Lee Robertson can't lead. Jerry Falwell can't raise money. Norman Vincent Peale is negative. Bob Jones is retarded compared to you. You are the... My sermons are taped. They go all over the world. I go places to preach. And some guy has preached my sermon right before I get there. I preach it. And people walk up and put their hands on their hips and say, "You've got your nerve." And I say, "What?" They say, "Coffee and I preach it, sir." I was a distant state out in the Northwest. The pastor met me at the airport. He said, "Dr. Kyle, I get your tapes on 1 week and I preach them both the next Sunday." And he said, "Anything you preached in the last 3 years, you can't preach here." I preached both the sermons. I preached last Sunday because he hadn't gotten that tape yet. While I was there, as I got on the airplane to come back, I said, "Study this week, you lazy rascal." Study. But I'm saying this. I'm saying that all that suggests that somebody thinks you're the greatest preacher in the whole world. And if you preach Payday Sunday, somebody says, "R.G. Lee copied that from you." If you preach Bob Hare, bossy wives, women preachers, they think John Rice is guilty of plagiarism. Why? Because to somebody, you are a mighty feeder. That little first thing, they called you Sunday school teacher. I can still recall when I was a little fir tree, nestled beneath a mighty cedar, I thought, called my Sunday school teacher. My Sunday school teacher was an artist. I'll never forget it. He took me to his gallery. I mean, he's a professional artist. He made his living painting. He took me to his gallery. I can see him, my Sunday school teacher, had taught me for almost a year. My hero took me to his gallery. I couldn't wait to see it. One of the first things I saw was a painting of a nude woman. And he said, "Now, Jack, you understand." But I didn't understand. He said, "We artists have artist models." He said, "You have to understand." But I didn't understand. And I went home and cried for a long time. Why? Because my cedar had fallen. Believe me, this little fir tree is mighty shaken. I'm still called to call my Sunday school teacher, one of my teachers, who said when I was a junior high boy, he said, "Young men, we ought to tithe." He said, of course, I can't afford it. But he said, it's the thing to do. When I can afford it, I'm going to do it again. That's the only thing I recall that teacher saying. Somebody see her. My daddy was an unsaved man. Got a drunkard's death in 1950. He took his body after being buried 30 years in a little cemetery in Texas and moved it over here to our mausoleum in our cemetery owned by a church. Took it last year and moved it up here. I recall one day, I said, Daddy, go to church tonight with me. And my daddy said, son, I work with your Sunday school teacher. He's a carpenter. He said, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want anything to do with it. I said, Daddy, what does he do? I called his name. What does he do? And he said, son, he said, that man's got the filthiest mouth on the job. Now, if you're a Sunday school teacher in First Baptist Church, and you can't keep your mouth clean, then you either get right with God or turn in your credentials, one or the other. And let's get some clean people teaching in our Sunday school. I'm saying, my daddy, they have died and gone to hell. Why? Because the mighty Caesar. That's all. The little bird that has fallen but he's worldly Christian. Disgruntled church members. Backslidden parents. Liberal preachers. Naomi and Elimelech thought it nothing to leave the land of Bethlehem, Judah, to go to Moab, leave the will of God, to backslide. But two little herds went with them and never came back. A little fur adored his daddy. As his daddy, King Solomon, went from wisdom to stupidity. Went from being wise to being foolish. A little fir tree had his eye on it. And that mighty cedar fell, called King Solomon. So fell the little fir tree above. And that mighty cedar called David fell. So fell Absalom. And so fell Tamar, and so fell Amnon, and so fell Adonijah, and so fell Solomon, and the mighty cedar had fallen. No one goes into sin alone. No one gets disgruntled alone. An athlete falls, fellas. Most of you guys play on our sports teams. When athletes fall, you have no idea what a mighty cedar you guys are to fellows in junior high and grade school. And I can still recall the big basketball star we had and football player named Nick Lanza. Nick Lanza weighed about 180 pounds. He was a mighty giant of a guy. The boy, he'd walk down, he called him King Nick. When he'd walk down the hall at school, he'd walk down. As His Majesty went down the hallway to the school, we peasants bowed to do him honor. And if Nick ever looked at me hard, I felt led to vacate the premises. When a senior falls, a freshman falls too. When a college student falls, a high school student falls too. When a high school student falls, a junior high student falls too. When a junior high student falls, a grade school student falls too. When a sixth grader falls, a first grader falls too. Somebody is growing beneath your branches. Oh, be careful. Little eyes, what you see. My mama taught me. We sang it. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. As we sat at the wood stove and warmed our hands and sang, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. As the kerosene lamp would shed its shadows our way, Mom and I would say, oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. As the windows are stuffed with papers, trying to keep the north wind out of the house. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. It's saying, as you read the Bible, come in. Tell me God left me with sin. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. As the crackling of the logs in the wood stove would make every night seem like Christmas Eve. As the howling wind would go out our little shack and as the outhouse could be seen out the window. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. My daddy was 13 years. My dad walked like this. Guess how I tried to walk. And I can still recall trying to walk like that. And I can still see the tears escaping my mother's eyes. I know now she's praying I wouldn't walk in this footstep. And this little boy over here is just a little baby. I used to, David, what's going to be when you grow up? I'm going to be a policeman or a preacher. I said, if you're a preacher, you're going to be a hellfire and damnation preacher or a pussy footer. He'd say, pussy footer. He'd say, like he's baptizing. He said, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the resurrection. But I caught him one day with all the shears in my closet, both of them. I caught him taking his shears out and putting his little feet in the shears and dragging them. He walked quite a while before the shears moved. And I recall, he didn't know I was watching him, but I was watching him. And I said, oh, God, may the feet that live in those shoes never walk past those little feet couldn't follow. How ye first heard, for the cedar is fallen. Our Heavenly Father, bless this message. And I pray that each of us who has a sphere of influence will pause tonight to realize the responsibility that accompanies it. I pray that that dad, that mother, that Sunday school teacher, that Christian school teacher, that youth worker, that choir director, that football coach, that athlete, I pray that each of us will stop and realize fir trees grow beneath us. Help us to be careful. For when we crumble not alone. When we stumble earthward, we stumble not alone. May I have your attention, please? I just saw that little kid. I use it around the country often when I preach. A number of you folks have heard me preach around the country. Over in the hallway outside our office. In the office. Our office area. I was walking down one day. About 2 o'clock in the afternoon, on a Sunday afternoon, the old bus kid looked up at me. He said, hi, mister. Who are you? Always makes me feel important. I said, my name is Brother Heil. I'll never forget what he said. He said, are you a bus captain? And I said, no, son. I am the pastor. Yeah. And he said, "Is that all?" For to him, the mighty cedar was the bus captain. Yeah. Little first. How? First three. The bus captain is fallen. How? First three. Sunday school teacher is fallen. How? First three. School teacher is fallen. How? First three. Post is fallen. How? First three. That older teenager has fallen. Bow your head, please. I wonder how many would say tonight, Brother Hiles. I realize that there are those who grow beneath me, those in my sphere of influence. And I realize that if I fall, they'll be tempted to fall. And I've been a little bit careless with my life. I need your prayers, Brother Hiles. I feel a new weight of responsibility. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please? You may drop your hand. In just a few moments, you can make whatever transaction you want to make with God. And the invitation is sung. Holy Father, bless the invitation. Crown it with the will of God for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand? And just whatever the Holy Spirit says you ought to do, that's exactly how wide the invitation is.